Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk about boycotts between children. It's something really painful, and we'd like to understand what can we do about it in order to make our life much better. Be with us, Tal, please. Yeah, it's really a very painful subject that we hear a lot about nowadays. We know that it always existed. Children always boycotted other children. They somehow pushed them out of the group game. And of course, this has a very strong effect on a person's, on a child's emotional state. And this is something that's becoming worse because we're living in a virtual world. And a child's school day doesn't end at school, but it goes with them all day long. Children feel that they're all the time in a social environment. And if a child is boycotted, then he feels this all the time. And we hear the distress that children in this state experience. And we want to know, what can we do about it? Because today, grown-ups, educators, parents, they're all clueless about what to do about it. So we'd like to ask you, how do you see this phenomenon of boycotts among children and that it's becoming ever more extreme, ever more cruel, and also ever more common among children? First of all, we have to understand that our nature is the ego, the will to receive pleasure. The will to receive pleasure egoistically, first of all, wants to enjoy being better than others. That the entire world has to serve me. I feel that I'm better than everyone else. I'm walking on the street, I go into the classroom, whatever I do, I feel that they're all there in order to serve me. As simple as that. And this is how everyone feels. Now, the question is, to what extent, or what is the extent of the child's ego or a person's ego and people that were born with a big will to receive, and this is also the kind of attitude they experienced at home, in the family, that they're like the, I don't know how to call it, idols, angels, that everything's there for them and the entire family revolves around them. And this made their ego grow more and more. And therefore, there are several conditions here because of which later we see that a child grows up and doesn't understand why isn't the world doing what he wants them to do, even without saying a word. Everyone's supposed to dance according to his desire. And we're in a generation which is very egoistic, very proudful, full of aspirations, where people don't understand each other, neither do we. But our children, our grandchildren, even less, I see it on them. In a way that they're simply incapable of taking others into consideration. And if so, they don't feel the other. They only feel the measure to which they can use the other. This is their nature. And therefore, their entire goal in life is, how will I cancel the other as much as I can, belittle them, feel how lesser than I they are, how much the other is nothing compared to me. And this is what I derive pleasure from. What can I do that this is what I want? A child, he doesn't even have such questions. He's subject to these inner urges of his. And this is how he behaves. I don't see any way that it's possible to deal with this the way things are ordinarily dealt with. And I also see that it's the same with grown-ups. Those grown-ups that really grew up in front of my eyes and that are now about 50, that when I was already a grown-up and they were just born and started developing, I saw how they developed. I'm already witnessing the development of the third generation, and I see how with each and every generation, the ego takes a tremendous leap, and it's expressed in what? In different ways. First of all, everyone has to be superior to others. If I can't be superior, then I'll try to make the other inferior. I'll organize all of society, all the means that I have for it, because without that, I don't get any pleasure out of life. I have to enjoy suppressing others. Otherwise, I can't feel the taste of life. And we can see it in the government, the relations they have in parliament, and the relations between the grown-ups, and especially between the media people, how they're all the time arguing on TV and in different other places. What we see is all the time the struggle of this tiny, stinky pride that's so conspicuous among grown-ups. And when we, children, see it, then what can we do? We take an example from it. That on TV, what I see all the time are disputes and arguments and more, and it's not for the purpose of someone being right and someone benefiting from it, but everyone wants to show that they're better without bringing any use or benefit to society or education or anything. And I see that the media that was supposed to connect us only separates us, destroying our connection if we ever had one, and we did. And this is how things are. And so I have nothing to add. Besides the fact that we can't turn to children and ask them, where are they behaving the way they are? We didn't take care of them. And now we're truly lagging behind. And what we discover is only the tip of the iceberg, really. That inside there are emotions really stirring. And really big tragedies are going on between them and inside each of them because it's a child. It's little boys, little girls. How can they later on grow up with what inner distress to go through all of life with that flaw that she got in third or fourth grade, and it's really because of today's mobiles that they can't calm down. It's really following them, pursuing them, the internet, on the mobile, everywhere. I don't envy them, really. It's something very sad and worrisome. And, as always, the generation of the parents, or even the parents of the parents, we don't understand that we're to blame. We're saying, the children, look what's going on with them. What's going on with them is what we prepared for them. And therefore, the situation is grim. We have to correct ourselves. We have to see how can we reach the good and correct states. And accordingly, we'll know how to correct society and in general, And then we'll know how to take care of our children and grandchildren. There's no other way to do it. We, the corrupted ones that built this society, can't turn with our corrupted nature to correct them. The most we can do is that we can cancel their media. But it won't help. I remember that when I was in sixth grade, this was before the mobile era. I just came back from the United States. I was pretty popular. No one boycotted me. But the queen of the class, that she became my best friend, she boycotted some other girl, and I didn't participate in it. I thought that I better not. But I saw how a girl that has strength is simply leading a group of children that are weaker than her against someone else. How do you explain this, that children that are popular and everything, this is something that exists in every society. What is it, character, education? No, not education. It's a matter of character. It's a character of people that want to control, that can control, that can motivate other people. This exists in every society, in every group. We have to understand that this is how human nature is arranged, and for a good reason, because in every small group there has to be a kind of a small leader. That this is how it works in our body in terms of our cells or a certain organ. Everything works this way. Also, when we build systems, this is how we build systems and subsystems and subsubsystems and so on. This is the order of things. This is how it has to be. And therefore, in such a hierarchy, everything exists. And therefore, in every group, there is someone who controls things. The only question is, who's that person that's in power, and to what extent do they understand that they have power and responsibility in their hands and so on? The problem is that neither that person that's in power or the people that are controlled by them understand what they're doing. But they enjoy suppressing others egoistically, and then they get pleasure from that. And that's our egoistic nature. And how do you explain that there are children that will follow that leader and children that won't, that'll understand that it's not good? Maybe they won't really understand, but they'll feel that it doesn't satisfy their ego. They're simply indifferent towards it. Usually they're not social. Social people, they will be either in favor or against this process. And there are people that aren't social. They have an inclination towards something else, maybe sports, music, science, something. They don't participate in it. It's a natural inclination. Again, it's not about a child being educated or not. And therefore, in every society, we have to discern those people that can and have to be leaders, and those people that can follow them to be as their soldiers, and we have to identify them and to really take care of them. Take care of them how? First of all, do you work differently with the leaders and with the followers? You said that we have to discern the two types, the leaders and the followers. Those that are being led, we have to take care of them in such a way that we give them greater strength, power, that they don't simply follow those leaders like soldiers. That's one thing. Another thing is that the leaders themselves, we have to take care of them on several levels. One level is that we explain to them the great harm that they're bringing upon themselves and upon others. Another level is that we identify several such leaders and we take care of each of them with the help of the others. And it's not simple because we can't all the time be with the children. And the third level is that we're all the time with those that are being led for them to take care of the leaders and not give them the strength to control them. Meaning it has to be guided, directed, the same way we want to manage a society of grown-ups. That we don't want to support someone who wants to become president or something. So we arrange forces against him and this way. Why am I saying it this way? Why am I putting it this way? Because we can't explain to children that their ego is leading them and directing them to do all of these horrific things. We can't. But by way of blow against blow, meaning what? Meaning that we have to put force against force. That against the power of control of one child, we have to arrange the power of control of another child or other children, and only this way. With little children, it can't work in any other way. They have to see that it's not working out for them, they feel bad as a result, and then they let go. They understand only good or bad, bitter or sweet. Sometimes I see bullying in my child's kindergarten. Two, three children are thinking together, okay, let's go and ruin his whatever, and so on. It starts from young age. Yeah, our ego, it starts before birth. So, what's the correct response to bullying of this kind? The ego, it's afraid. This is one thing that we can simply act against it, that if you don't act this way, things are going to be bad. You have to know this and be afraid. And then, because he has no choice, he does it. Here we're talking about little children. With bigger children, we can speak to them differently. Look how it is between grown-ups that behave the same way and how much they can benefit or harm you, and then they won't let you live a peaceful life and so on. Meaning, this is something that society is already supposed to start taking care of. We're no longer talking about children in the first or second grade, but those that are in the fifth, sixth grade and on, we have to try and influence them by society. So that society won't accept them the way they are, that they can turn their back on them, and then they'll stay alone, that it's better for you to be balanced. You want others to follow you? Okay, you have such an inclination. But if you want to stay great, then you have to make them content with you, and then they'll be content with you, and you'll be content with them. They have to see that you're a good leader, and then they'll keep you as a good leader. But if you're a bad leader, then they'll turn their back on you and go with someone else. So you have to try these things out in society so that in society there won't be one leader. This is what we do in our so-called democracy. And of course, there's no democracy or nothing here, but only a few leaders shouting at each other. But still, in the meantime, the people, they're not slaves, but they somehow get along. Are there children that are good by nature? No. Everyone's an egoist by nature, and eventually everyone wants to pull everything to their own benefit. But if I want to overpower someone, then I'll give them candy for them to so-called be with me. Just like it is with grown-ups. So how do you create a situation where there is a positive force in a group that pulls children in the right direction? There will never be a positive force until we'll start taking fundamental care of them according to the wisdom of Kabbalah that teaches us how to bring people to the good and right connection. What do you mean by fundamental treatment? Fundamental treatment, meaning that just like we see that we're controlled by the evil force of nature, a force that destroys everything, that doesn't allow us to organize society correctly, doesn't allow us to arrange things correctly at home, at work, with the family, with the kids in class, in society in general, in the country, in the government. We see that everywhere there are struggles, and the struggle also happens between animals and plants and even rocks, were we to know. It exists in the foundation of nature between the plus and the minus. Everything exists only due to struggle, and anyone bigger eats the weaker and the smaller. And therefore, if we want for this to ever end, then we have to study the foundations of nature and see whether all of nature is evil, is bad, and that there is only a struggle between evil forces. That this is stronger, this is not as strong, they're both evil. Only this is evil one way, this is bad another way. And we're not really in a state where we're eating each other up because everyone has a different kind of interest. I want to be great in music, and he in literature, and he in that, and she in this, and so on. But if we'd all want the same thing, we'd simply finish each other off, we'd kill each other. And so here comes the question. If in nature there's only one negative force that controls us, and that's really pushing us in each other's face, then where can we find the positive force that'll balance our negative force out, and maybe not only balance it, but overcome it? Is there a second force in nature or not? From what we see in the still, and particles, then there's plus and minus. There's darkness and light. There's heat and cold. Meaning, in nature itself, besides the vegetative, animate, and the speaking, meaning human beings, there are two foundations, plus and minus. And they're in a certain balance, and therefore, atoms exist, molecules exist, and they develop. In the vegetative, it already exists in some kind of a struggle between them. But it's not that much of a struggle, but it's a kind of metabolism. Different changes that occur between the plus and the minus, where they both are working towards the same goal, towards the same place in order to survive and live. In the animate, it's more conspicuous as if in the negative direction, but all in all, nature balances them out. And even though that they eat each other, each of them trying to be greater than the other, but it happens by limited instincts. When a lion eats some deer, he ate half a deer, and that's it. He goes. He doesn't need to simply kill it. Only in order to sustain his corporeal body. And only man's ego, man's will to receive, that isn't even about sustenance. I simply want the entire world. And therefore, man is actually the destructive element in nature. And we already have to see then, if in the still, the vegetative and the animate, there is some kind of balance between the plus and the minus, between good and bad things, and the balance between them stops each of them at a certain point and says, enough, that's it. Man has no such thing that he says, that's it, enough. He wants to swallow everything up. The power of his ego is unlimited. And therefore, here we have to think, where can we find that force that will stand against our evil ego? Where is that force of good? And we simply can't find it. So comes a wisdom called the wisdom of Kabbalah that explains that the force of good does exist in nature, only we have to draw it for it to control us, and for it to balance out our ego, our minus with its plus. And so this entire method talks only about the balance of forces. All you need is plus against minus and minus against plus. You need balance in metabolism, forces, different states, and so on. And by these changes in us, we'll advance and live a good, correct life. Because you can't have plus without minus and minus without plus. This is what this wisdom says. And it's all about how to draw the good force to us so it will balance out the bad force. So all these boycotts that we see today, it's that minus, that negative force that you're talking about. Yes. We're in a state, in a very special time in history, where the wisdom of Kabbalah is becoming revealed, and it's explaining how to even out, balance out the negative force with the positive force, otherwise we'll come to complete destruction. Were we the parents to learn how to draw this positive balancing force, and we'd succeed in doing it, it would also project on our children and all the boycotts and the bad things would calm down? Of course, were we to draw the positive force into our world for it to balance out the negative force on the human level, because on the still vegetative and animate levels, it works. If there is something wrong there, it's because we, from the human degree, are projecting it onto the lower levels. But were we to pull this, draw this force, then of course, all of nature and human nature and of course our children would reach peace and tranquility. And we see good kids. Last question. That leader, that by nature is a leader in that state, what will he pull those other children to? Balance. He will be the one pulling them to balance. With the evil force that he had, now that he gets the good positive force, then the bad and good forces will be more balanced in him than in others because he has tremendous forces. And then he'll know how to pass it on to everyone, and around him there will be a balanced society. Dr. Leitman, I wish for all of us to understand these things a bit better and start implementing them. Thank you very much. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.